When I was in fifth grade, myself and all my classmates went through a program called DARE Education. And as many of you know, DARE Education is a program that seeks to teach young children the dangers of drugs, how to avoid those drugs, why they shouldn't take those drugs, and how to say no to drugs. And in this education program came a term that has been brought to my attention throughout my life. And this term is peer pressure. We all know what the term peer pressure means. It means to be in a group of people who are behaving one way, a way that we don't want to behave, and the pressure to behave like them. Now, when we talk about peer pressure, we often talk about how it applies to teenagers, since the approval of their friends is so important at that age. And often their friends might ask them to do things that are unwise. But it's not simply teenagers who struggle with peer pressure, but it's people of all ages who struggle with peer pressure. Anytime you find yourself in a group, whether it's at work or in a family setting or a social setting, and someone is behaving in a way that makes you uncomfortable and you feel the pressure to conform, that in itself is peer pressure. You see, the approval of others is something, to one degree or another, is very important to us. It's deep down inside of us, and there's actually a historical reason for that. A survey once said that people had a greater fear of public speaking than death. They took a poll of all the different fears that people could possibly have, and people rated public speaking higher than death. The comedian Jerry Seinfeld once said, if this is true, a person would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. Now, why is that? Why is the idea of speaking in front of a group of people such a scary thought for so many people? Well, the truth is, it goes back to our ancestral roots, when we lived in tribes and were nomads. You see, people were often exiled from a community. If people lived in a tribe and they weren't living according to the rules and laws of that tribe, they were often kicked out of the community, thrown into the wilderness. And to do so might mean that person would die. Because it wasn't like living today where you could simply pick up and go to another town. And many times there were no towns nearby them. All their food and their water came from their family and friends. But before a person was exiled from their community, they were often called before everyone and given the opportunity to make their case about why they should stay in the community, about why they shouldn't be exiled, about why the group should continue to approve of them. And instinctually, this habit, this idea stays with us and in us. This idea that if we don't have the approval and the recognition of others, then we too will lose ourselves. And no point is this more apparent than when we're public speaking. All the eyes on us, watching our every move, everything that we do. For many of us, this is a lot of pressure. And it often takes years to overcome this fear. Yes, peer pressure is real. Yes, public pressure is real, but our Christian faith teaches us that we are to live to a much higher calling than the approval of other people. In our scripture reading today, we hear from the book of Galatians. And it's the Apostle Paul retelling an incident where a very prominent disciple of Jesus Christ succumbed to peer pressure. This disciple of Jesus Christ is Peter. And in this scripture reading, we hear of one of Peter's nicknames, specifically Cephas. And the Apostle Paul talks about how he, Cephas, was amongst a group of traditional Jews. You see, if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that the first church was a combination of traditional Jews, people who were Jewish by birth, people whose parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were Jewish, and those people who are not Jewish, called Gentiles, who felt called to be a Christian, who felt called to follow the way of Jesus Christ. And before Jesus came on the scene, the Jewish tradition was one that was very closed, that only certain people you could associate with, specifically other Jews. And this was no more apparent than during mealtime. You see, in the old Jewish tradition, it was very important that only Jews ate with other Jews, that they didn't eat with Gentiles, they didn't have meals with them. But Jesus himself would often eat with Gentiles. And so people like Peter had to recognize, well, if Jesus would eat with Gentiles, I should eat with Gentiles too. That was clear in Peter's mind and Peter's heart. But the Apostle Paul points out an incident where he was surrounded by traditional Jewish people, people who only wanted to eat with other Jews. And Peter felt that pressure once again to conform not to God's standards, to conform not to Christ's standards, but to conform to the standards of his peers. And so he slipped. He made a mistake. He began not eating with everyone and anyone, but only the select group of people. And the Apostle Paul points out how this behavior, verse 14 says, they are not acting in line with the gospel. And here is the key for us as Christians to remember, that we are called to live our lives not according to the whims, according to the expectations, according to the standards of the world, but we are called to live our lives in line with the gospel. And in our busy culture with so many ideas and expectations and values that are not biblical, it's easy to lose sight of that. Because our culture is always changing. People are always thinking differently. And sometimes if we feel like we are not thinking differently, we're not behaving differently, then we are going to be left out. But the truth of the matter is, our only saving grace, the only thing that can give us true peace and true purpose, is to live in line with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what gives us peace. And anything else, from anywhere else, is ultimately a false peace. I'm very excited to share that recently my wife and I welcomed the birth of our new daughter. And a new baby brings with it all sorts of wonderful things. But one thing a new baby does not bring with it is a lot of sleep. Yes, it's been said that the one thing that parents of newborns miss out on the most is, of course, sleep. And that's definitely true with us. And one of the things that many people do, including parents of newborns, when they are struggling and they're not getting much sleep, is they will turn to caffeine. The caffeine industry in our country is a billion-dollar industry. You look at any Starbucks in the morning and there's almost a line around the block of every one of them. On top of that, we not only find caffeine in coffee, but we also find it in soda, in tea, and even chocolate. And so many people love caffeine because when you drink it, no matter how tired you are, it gives you this feeling of energy and euphoria almost immediately, that you feel like you're not tired at all. You have this boost, this surge of energy. But recently I heard something that was very interesting, that caffeine does not actually give you energy. What caffeine does is it activates your adrenal glands, your adrenaline, in other words, which essentially makes your mind and your heart think that something bad is happening. It gives you energy not from being rested and energized, but it gives you energy from the same things where you get stressed. You see, no matter how much caffeine we drink, it cannot be a sufficient replacement for sleep. What our bodies need when we are tired is not caffeine, but what our bodies need when we are tired is rest and sleep. And there is no replacement or no medication for sleep. I bring that up because our hearts and our souls and our minds are the same. You see, we can go out into the world and we can get a false peace from the approval and recognition of others. And like that caffeine, it might give us a surge of energy for a while, but eventually it'll come crashing down and leave us wanting more. Leave us seeking the approval of others again. And if we base our peace on the approval and recognition of others, we will always be chasing a false, empty, and temporary peace. However, if we live our lives in line with the gospel of Jesus Christ, what we find is a peace that is unchanging, enduring, everlasting, and eternal. Jesus once said in the gospel that all things will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Jesus offers us a peace, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. There's a parable in the Gospels where Jesus talks about building our houses, building our lives, essentially, not on sand that is moving and shifting all the time, but on rock that is unchanging. And what Jesus says is that both the house built on sand and the house built on rock will encounter storms, will encounter obstacles and trials. But the house that is built on rocks will see through the storm, will see the other side of the storm. Following Jesus Christ does not always guarantee you good outcomes. It does not always guarantee you the approval and the recognition of others. In fact, sometimes it brings the opposite. But what the approval of Jesus Christ does, what living your life in line with the gospel does, is it brings you a peace, a purpose that is everlasting, that will see you through any storm. So may we, as people of God, of Jesus Christ, not live for the approval of others, but may we live for the living God, the living bread that is eternal, everlasting, and is available always to us. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this gospel and truth of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us build our lives on a firm and strong foundation, a foundation not based on the approval of others, but on your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen.